Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what I'd like to do with you tonight is the last shiur on our series of Yerushalayim. If you remember, we focused on Yerushalayim when it was unified the first time. We focused on the reunification of Yerushalayim. And then the last time we learned, we gave a shiur about some of the halachic issues that came up after Yerushalayim was unified in terms of, are you allowed to ascend the Har HaBayit? Is that permitted or is that forbidden? Because obviously this is a question that could not be addressed until 1967. And Baruch Hashem, after 67, so we have that question. That's what we spoke about last time we learned. I want to talk about a few other issues tonight. These are issues that relate to having Yerushalayim in Jewish control. And these issues relate, there are three things that I want to discuss. One is kriya, the obligation of rending, ripping one's clothing when you see Yerushalayim. Does that apply anymore? Right? One could argue, and we'll discuss this, that, hey, we have Yerushalayim, why on earth should I tear kriya? Alternatively, one could say, whoa, slow down, right? The Yerushalayim that we have isn't the way we'd like it, right, et cetera, right? We can make a bunch of arguments. So we'll see what the poskim say about ripping our clothing on Yerushalayim. I also want to discuss with you tonight a very narrow topic, but I think it is connected to the previous topic, and that's the question of Nachem. There's a prayer that we recite on Tisha B'Av, that God should comfort the mourners of Tzion and Yerushalayim, etc. No? Well, should we change that tefillah after Muhammad Sheshet Hayamim? Should I change that prayer after 67? And you're going to say, Rabbi, this is blasphemous. Changing prayers, we don't do that, right? You know the joke about how many Orthodox rabbis does it take to change a light bulb? Change! Orthodox rabbis don't change anything, right? The old light bulb has to remain. Maybe.
What if it's burned out?
Right? Or if it's burned out. But no, it's the old light bulb. This is the light bulb I put up by the Altar of Zeda. Right? Maybe. I don't know. Can we change the tefillah of Nachem? Is it a good idea, a bad idea, etc.? Is it permitted, not permitted? That will be another topic that we'll discuss. The last topic that we'll discuss also relates to the prayer of L'shana Haba'a B'Yerushalayim. Like, what on earth are we saying when we have it? Right? Once we already have Yerushalayim, so the prayer of L'shana Haba'a B'Yerushalayim seems to be very changed, and we will discuss that as we go on. I haven't said anything yet.
No, this is something different. Why are we discussing whether on Yom Yerushalayim and Yom Ha'atzmaut we should say halal or not, and if we should say it with a bracha or not?
So we could have that discussion also. I think that discussion is kind of famous, well-known. These discussions are somewhat less famous, less well-known. I like talking about stuff that's less famous, less well-known. Okay, you know what? Maybe we could throw a few lines in about that also if I'm in a good mood. It depends.
Okay.
Right? I'm not always in good moods. Okay, right. Let's go on. So topic one is kriya, is rending, ripping one's clothing when you see Yerushalayim today. Gemara Moed Katan Chaf Vav. First, we'll learn the sources about ripping clothing in Yerushalayim in general. Then we'll discuss how it applies today or does not apply today. Moed Katan Chaf Vav tells us that there are three obligations to rip. There's an obligation to rip when you see Arei Yehuda, cities of Yehuda. You have to rip your clothing. The Beis Yosef actually has a text that maybe it means Arei Yisrael, but the simple reading of the Gemara and the Poskim will say that really it's only Arei Yehuda. You see the cities of Yehuda, you have to rip. Arei Yehuda minalan, how do you know you rip? Dichti vayavan Hashem ishchem mishilo mishomron shmonim ish mugulchei zakar mekurei begadim umisgodedim uminchal vana biyadam lahavi beis Hashem. That the people came from all these places, right? They came from Shomron, and then they ripped their clothing because they come to Arei Yehuda. Amreb Chelba, Amreb Ula Bira, Amreb Lazar, Hara Arei Yehuda be Churbanan Omer, Arei Kachacha Yamidbar be Korea. Right? If you see Arei Yehuda that are destroyed, you say, oh, your holy cities became a desert. Yerushalayim b'chorbana. The second obligation is not on Erei Yehuda. As if you see Yerushalayim, you say Tzion midbar ha'isa Yerushalayim shmama b'koreya. Right? You see Yerushalayim, you say Tzion was desolate. Then you rip. Beis HaMikdash b'chorbana. You see the Beis HaMikdash, you say Omer Beis Kachin v'tifarteinu asher halucha avoseinu ha'yul sreif ha'setrucho machmadeinu ha'yul chorva v'koreya. Right, you see the Beis HaMikdash, then you also rip. So there are three separate obligations to rip. There's the obligation to rip for the cities of Yehuda, obligation to rip for Yerushalayim, and obligation to rip for the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara continues, the Gemara says that there's a bit of a contradiction. Do you rip twice when you see Yerushalayim and the Mikdash? Generally speaking, it's hard to see the Mikdash without first seeing Yerushalayim, no? It could take talent. It's difficult. So the Gemara asks a question. It says, Korea Mikdash Mosifa Yerushalayim. That means that you rip when you see the Beis HaMikdash has destroyed. Umosifa Yerushalayim, you add onto that rip. There's a halacha that sometimes you could have a rip and just add a tiny bit. You don't need a complete new rip. You're Mosifa Yerushalayim. The Gemara asks a question, Rami Nahu. Right? The Gemara asks the contradiction, but we see that you rip a separate rip for Yerushalayim and a separate rip for the Mikdash. Lo kasha, hadapaga b'mikdash b'reisha, hadapaga b'Yerushalayim b'reisha. The Gemara answers that if you see the Mikdash first, you just add a tiny bit for Yerushalayim. If you see Yerushalayim first, so then you need a separate rip for when you see the Mikdash. Now, how on earth can you see Yerushalayim? How can you see the Mikdash before seeing Yerushalayim? How can you possibly see a destroyed Beis HaMikdash without seeing Jerusalem? So Rashi has an innovative suggestion. I didn't put it on the sheet because why not? But because I didn't. But Rashi's suggestion is that the case is that you are in a box, a sealed box, and you don't see anything. And they carry you and they say, okay, mystery place, right? And then they open up and, oh my gosh, it's the Beis HaMikdash. So what you do is you take out your little razor blade that you always carry around and you rip. That's what Rashi learns. Highly unlikely. But okay, the Rambam learns that it's possible to approach Yerushalayim from different sides. Right? The Rambam writes, "Impaga b'mikdash tchila kishe yavo miderech hamidbar korea al mikdash u'mosif ha'Yerushalayim." If you see the mikdash first, which means that you're coming from the desert. Now, I'm not exactly sure which direction this is, what it means that you're coming from the desert, but apparently it goes like this. The Rambam holds that you can see Yerushalayim, the city, right? And then you come to the Mikdash. Alternatively, you could come from like the back end and you can see the Mikdash before Yerushalayim. And in that case, you rip on the Mikdash and later on you rip on Yerushalayim. Now, I'm not exactly sure what it means, but Reb Yechiel Michal Tukuchinsky in the Sefer Ir HaKodesh VaHamikdash in volume 3 of it, chapter 17, Reb Yechiel Michal Tukuchinsky, we've mentioned him in some of the shirim beforehand, he has the suggestion that you see from the Rambam that the Rambam holds that you could see the Mikdash without seeing Yerushalayim. Says Rabbi Chil Michal, obviously it means that the Rambam considers the Mikdash as seeing the rock, the Dome of the Rock, no? Or seeing a mosque on Har Habayis. When was the Dome of the Rock built, by the way? I need someone with a smartphone. When was the Dome of the Rock built? I'm not sure, right? But says Rabbi Chiyo Michal, maybe the Rambam means that there's a discussion in Poskim. When we say that you rip when you see the Mikdash, does that mean that you have to see the ground where the Mikdash was? Or is seeing the top of the dome enough? At first, Rabbi Chiyo Michal Tukuchinsky felt that you have to see the ground of the Mikdash. If you see the dome, you're not seeing the Beis HaMikdash, you're just seeing a dome. But he said, one second, think about it. What makes you sadder, just seeing the bare ground, or seeing this Dome of the Rock on a place that's supposed to be Beis Kodshenu v'Sifarteinu? What makes us sadder? Right? He says, oh, obviously you're sadder because of the Dome of the Rock, and therefore you rip when you see. I think the standard practice is that you rip Kriya when you see the Dome of the Rock, no? That's a standard practice. You don't, to see Ritzbas Ha'azara, to see the floor, right, require, I mean, it is possible to like, go up to the roof of Yeshivat HaKotel or something, and you could actually see down, but most of the time, I mean, I generally rip Kriya when I am walking on the stairs down to the Kotel, right, you know, the, and right up when you see the top of the Dome of the Rock, that's when you rip Kriya. That's when you tear. And the reason for that is because that's seeing the Mikdash. I'm not seeing the ground of the Mikdash. Presumably that's enough. That's his suggestion. Again, I'm not exactly sure when, we'd have to find out when the Dome of the Rock was built. It could be just a suggestion that Rashi didn't have the suggestion. Rashi has like this creative idea that you're entering Yerushalayim in a box because maybe there was nothing to see. I don't know. Yeah.
Supposing you happen to go there more or less every day.
The halacha is you only rip if you have not seen it in 30 days. Now, there is a minhag that residents of Yerushalayim never rip. And Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, when I quote Reb Shlomo Zalman most tonight, I'm quoting from Chelak Aleph of his Tshuva Siman Ayin Gimel, where Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach develops the idea that you're supposed to feel bad when you see the Makom HaMikdash, and we don't have our Beis HaMikdash there. That's supposed to bring up bad feelings. If I'm a resident of Yerushalayim, and it doesn't mean enough to me to go and visit that place, I don't go to the Kotel. I live in Yerushalayim, and I don't go to the Kotel, right? That means, obviously, I don't feel so bad about it. If I don't feel so bad about it, I don't have an obligation to rip. The minhag is that residents of Yerushalayim don't rip, even though they haven't seen the Beis HaMikdash for more than 30, they haven't seen the Dome of the Rock for more than 30 days. The reason for that might be this svara of Reb Shlomo Zalman. Otherwise, it is a difficult svara. Moshe, in his tshuvas, is not so into these svaras. Yes?
We said the last time that we're not sure where the Beit HaMikdash was. Was it the Dome of the Rock, or was it the Al-Aqsa Mosque?
Right, 12 possibilities.
How can you say you rip when you... When you see the Dome of the Rock,
like
we really don't know where it is.
Because if I'm honest, I know it was the Dome of the Rock. I mean, realistically speaking, when I say I'm not sure, it's because like l'chumra l'chumra, not to go up on the Har Habayis, we're not exactly sure where it is. Right. But realistically speaking, the overwhelming, most likely approach is that the Dome of the Rock is where the Beis HaMikdash was. Okay. And to say it was Al-Aqsa is just...
The other thing is, why would you want to rip when you see something that, yes, it was built on where the Beit HaMikdash was, but it's a place that's not holy to us. The mosque is not holy to us.
No, but one second. First of all, this area, we spoke last time about the discussion of the Rambam and the Ravid, about how the Kedusha of... that area remains, right? So the area is still holy for us, and the area should be holy for us, and it should bother us tremendously. It should bother us tremendously if we are... This is supposed to be the apex of our Kedusha, and now not only do we not have it, but it's Bidei Zarim. That should bother us.
It does, but...
And that's why we tear Kriya.
It does, but the thing what I'm trying to say is that this is a place where they're teaching people how to kill Jews.
You know, I'm not sure if that's true or if it's not true. This is not political. This is halachic. This is halachic. And again, I think the halach of ripping when you see the Makom HaMikdash certainly makes sense. Now, let's go slowly.
Okay.
In terms of this rip, the Gemara tells us in the next line that most rips, right, there's halachos of kriya. If a person, Rachman San, loses a parent, so you rip. You rip on the parent on the left side. If you lose another relative, you rip on the right side. No?
Yeah.
That's the... basic. That's actually more of a minhag than a halacha, but there are halachos. The differences between ripping for a parent and ripping for someone else is that when you rip for a parent, you have to rip with your hands. Usually the Chevra Kadisha starts the rip a teeny bit with the knife, and you finish it with your hands. When you rip for other relatives, you're allowed to rip with a keli. When you rip for a parent, you have to rip in public. When you rip for other relatives, you're allowed to rip in private, right? Others understand that distinction. The Gemara says when you rip for other relatives, you could put the knife from the inside of the shirt and then rip. For other relatives, for a parent, you have to start from the outside and rip. Whatever it is, there are distinctions between ripping for parents and ripping for other relatives. And another distinction that comes up in this area of halacha is that when you rip for a parent, you're never allowed to sew up the shirt. You rip it, and it has to stay ripped forever. When you rip for other relatives, technically speaking, you're allowed to sew up that shirt. For a parent, by the way, throughout Shiva, you have to keep on ripping. You have, right? If you end up changing during the Shiva, when you're singing Shiva for a parent, you have to rip every garment that you put on. For other relatives, you don't. Right? There are halachos of differences between ripping for parents and ripping for other relatives. Question, is ripping for the Beis HaMikdash, is that like ripping for parents? Is it like ripping for other relatives? So the Gemara tells us that all rips, you're allowed to sew up, etc., right? But apparently this rip on Yerushalayim, you don't sew up. And the Rambam writes in Halacha Yud Zayin, all the rips, right, you have to rip when you're standing, you have to rip with your hand, you have to rip all of your garments. That's a halacha with your parents. When you lose a parent, Rachman Otzlan, you have to rip all of your garments, no?
Right. What do you mean?
When, yeah. If a man, let's say, is wearing a jacket, a vest, and a shirt, you have to rip. And well, a tie, we don't tie our tie. We assume the tie is only decorative. It's not a full garment. But a man would rip a jacket, vest, and shirt, right? A woman, if you're wearing like a woman doesn't rip the lower garment because it's considered not to be tsanua. But if you're wearing two upper garments, if you'd be wearing like a jacket and a cardigan underneath or something, in theory, you'd rip both of them, right? For a parent, you rip all the garments. You're supposed to rip agshiyagala eslevo until the heart is exposed. For other relatives, you only rip one garment. And that's the halacha in Kriya. The Rambam writes that the ripping that we do should be, the ripping for the Beis HaMikdash should be all the garments, and you can never sew it up. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. And the Ravid says, no, Am Avram lo nira came in HaGemara. Right? That lo hishvu l'avivu l'imo, elo l'ichoy bovad. Avo b'kli, kol ha-begadim sh'alav, ha-chega ha-siba lo hishvu. Avo yikra b'chutz, e'enei ha'am, gal mazah, rei hushva, etc. Zoch b'raivid, that you know what? The halacha is that we only equate the ripping on the Beis HaMikdash to your parent in the sense of that you're not allowed to sew it up. But the halacha of ripping all the garments is not true. The standard practice is that when you go to Yerushalayim, when you go and you see the Dome of the Rock, you do not rip all of your garments. You only rip the shirt, no? That's the standard practice. Even though Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Rambam, you should rip all your garments, but the mission of the later poskim, Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky, already points out that the minhag is about that we follow the Ravid and we only rip one garment. If that's the case, that the minhag is to follow the Ravid, so then you should also not rip on the left, you should rip on the right. The minhag is that we are treating it like the rip for siblings rather than for parents, right. And therefore you should tear on the right side, not on the left side.
That's why you can use a...
And therefore you can use a knife, which makes it so much easier.
Yes. Absolutely.
So these are some of the halachos with respect to the ripping. Now, we mentioned that the Gemara has three different levels of ripping. There's ripping for cities of Yehuda, there's ripping for Yerushalayim, and there's ripping for the Beis HaMikdash. Ready? Now, why do we rip for cities of Yehuda? So this is a machlokas. Rav Schechter actually points this out in his Sefer on the Ikvei Hatzon. He points out there's a machlokas between the Bach and the Lavush about why you rip for Arei Yehuda. Do you rip for the cities of Yerushalayim? Because now they are under the rule of non-Jews. Or do you rip for Arei Yehuda? Because it's supposed to be Shechino Shemakom. The cities of Yehuda are supposed to be close to the Shechina. And it's supposed to be a spiritual place. And there's a lack of spirituality. One could argue that the nafgamina between these approaches is, do you rip today? If you hold that the reason to rip for the cities of Yehuda is because it depends who's in charge, so then today that Baruch Hashem, the Jewish people are in charge, so then we should not rip. But if you hold like the Levush, that the reason why you rip is because of Shechino Shamakom, so then maybe we should rip today. The standard practice is that we do not rip for Arei Yehuda. Now, there are two different reasons given. One reason is the Bach's reason, because it's under Jewish jurisdiction. But there's another reason that's given also, which is we might not know where these cities are. These Arei Yehuda, where are they? Right? Where? Right? It's hard to know. And if we don't know where they are, what about cities that we do know? That's your question?
No, what about when you go to
Hebron? What about Marat HaMachpelah? What about Hebron? So for some reason, Rav Shechter has a long essay about this in his Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon. There is one approach in Poskim that maybe you don't rip when you go to Hebron, because maybe Hebron is Hebron was an Ir Miklat, and maybe you don't rip for Arei Miklat, and Rav Shechter tries to explain why that's true. That's already wowza. That's already advanced Talmud, right? Not for
that's
now.
Interesting.
But the practice is that we do not rip on Arei Yehuda. We follow the Bach, or we don't know exactly where they are. We don't rip. The practice is that we do rip on the Beis HaMikdash.
Okay.
Because the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, no?
Right, yes.
What about Yerushalayim? Do you rip Bizman Hazeh on Yerushalayim? So Rav Moshe Feinstein... Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes that the kriya, the ripping that was done on Yerushalayim, was also because Yerushalayim is not in Jewish sovereignty. And therefore, Bizman Hashem, 1967, we have Yerushalayim, Harabayit Miyadenu, Yerushalayim Miyadenu. Therefore, Rav Moshe Feinstein says you do not rip on Yerushalayim. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach disagrees. Rav Shlomo Zalman, I give you the sources here. The Igros Moshe Chelak Siman Lamed Zayin, and the Tshuva in Rav Shlomo Zalman is Chelak Ala Siman Ayin Gimel. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach disagrees. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, I think that Kol Zman Shiroim Adayim Beir Hakadosh Hamikdash Knesiyot Shel Nachrim, so long as you see churches, Vigam Kivrei Akum, and you see graves of non-Jews, Ein Anu Yucholim Lameka Pochana Nuchra'a, and we can't uproot the Avodah Zarah, so Adayim Hi Bechor Bana, Vatai Nenu Nesuot LaShamayim Lerota Mehera, V'Pochana Deshra'a Bingam Beit HaBechira, V'Nagila BaHashem, V'Nismecha Bishvuato LaNetzach. Zet Yerushalayim Zalman, that today Yerushalayim is still Bechor Bano, because the Korban for Rav Shlomo Zalman is not about politics. It's not about sovereignty. The Korban is about spirituality. And Yerushalayim is still not the spiritual home that it should be. There is still Avodah Zarah in Yerushalayim. And so long as you have these things in Yerushalayim, so says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you should theoretically rip on Yerushalayim. There's a discussion post-game. Maybe you're allowed to close your eyes and not see Yerushalayim and see the Mikdash first, or maybe the Gemara that we mentioned beforehand about seeing Yerushalayim and then adding on to the Mikdash. Maybe that applies. That's a discussion exactly what to do according to Yerushalayim Zaman. But again, Rav Moshe feels that ripping on Yerushalayim does not apply, because for Rav Moshe, the halacha of Yerushalayim was about sovereignty. Rav Shlomo Zalman is assuming that the halacha of Yerushalayim is not about sovereignty, it's about Kedusha. Good? So for Rav Shlomo Zalman, Yerushalayim is still desolate. For Rav Moshe, it's not. Rav Soloveitchik has a different approach. Rav Soloveitchik feels that the halacha of Yerushalayim is not, and we mentioned this in our first year in Yerushalayim, so it's good in the last year to come back to it a little bit. But Soloveitchik felt that Yerushalayim is only kadosh insofar as it's an extension of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. It's not the same as Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying, that Yerushalayim is still Bechor Bano. Right? Rav Soloveitchik would say Yerushalayim is built up, but the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And Yerushalayim's Kedusha and the Kriya, the ripping on Yerushalayim, is not out Yerushalayim. It's because Yerushalayim is an extension of the Mikdash. And the Mikdash is destroyed. That's Rav Soloveitchik's approach. And Rav Soloveitchik developed this. Rav Soloveitchik developed this in two ways. This is found in Rav Shechter's Sefer Eretz, Rav Shechter's Sefer Be'ikvei Atzon, page 107. One approach that the Rav said is that the term Lefnei Hashem is found to mean Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. That means it's gradations of the same thing. That's one approach. The other approach that he said is a little more razzle-dazzle, right? The Mishnayos in the first parak of Kalim speak about how there are 10 different levels of Kedusha. And the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is that you bring Omer, Bikurim, Shtei Halachim. And everyone asks the question, one second, Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is about the Omer, is about Bikurim. Well, I say the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is about Truma, Mais, or Shvius. Those are much more famous dina. My Omer, Shtei Halachim. So the answer that Rav Soloveitchik gives, that Omer and Shtei Halachim are really extensions of Kedushas HaMikdash. And the Mishnayos in Kalim are telling us that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and even the Kedusha of all of Eretz Yisrael is to a limited extent an extension of Kedushas HaMikdash. Okay? So what we have is three approaches about Yerushalayim today. Rav Moshe Feinstein felt that Yerushalayim today is rebuilt, and therefore you don't tear in Yerushalayim. It's no longer destroyed. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, it's destroyed spiritually. Rav Soloveitchik said, it's an extension of the Beis HaMikdash. So long as the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, nothing to talk about with Yerushalayim, right? Etc. This should be relevant for the topic of davening and saying Nachem. Let's talk about the next thing.
So Rav Soloveitchik would say you would rip?
So Rav Soloveitchik would say that you would rip on Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is an extension of the Mikdash. Mm-hmm. We don't have a Mikdash, you have to rip on Yerushalayim, absolutely. Now, we have a tefillah of Nachem. Our practice, by the way, is that we only say Nachem at Mincha. No? Sfaradim say Nachem Ma'ariv, Shachar's Mincha, mm-hmm. Right? Ashkenazim say Nachem only at Mincha. Okay. In Nachem, so I printed out for you two texts of Nachem, but none of these are the texts that you have in your Siddur. Okay, if you have a Siddur near you, so take out a Siddur and turn to Tfilat Mincha, and you'll see Nachem Hashem Elokeinu. Okay, here. You can follow along. I'll take a Siddur. Here, Frida, here, you can use this one.
Oh.
Right? It says in the Pilat Nachem, Nachem Hashem Elokeinu, et avelei Tzion, et avelei Yerushalayim, that God should comfort the mourners of Tzion and Yerushalayim. You see it? Ve'et ha'ir ha'avela ha'chareva ha'bezuya ha'shomema. And the city that is mourning, destroyed, bizuya means disgraced, shomema means desolate. Right? Now, how can you say this? Yerushalayim, it's kliwas yofi. It's beautiful. How can you say the city is destroyed?
Well, if you take Rabbi Soloveitchik's approach...
So let's go slowly. If I take Rav Moshe Feinstein's approach, should I say Nachem?
No.
Probably not. And if I want to say Nachem, I should change the text, no?
Yes.
Because according to Rav Moshe, the city actually is under Jewish sovereignty.
Right.
Now, one could argue that even for Rav Moshe, the halacha of ripping is based on sovereignty, but the tefillah of Nachem maybe is about the spiritual dimension, perhaps, right? But at least for Rav Moshe, I have to have a conversation about this. for Reb Shlomo Zalman. Do I say Nachem? Well, yeah, for sure. Because the city is desolate and destroyed. Spiritually, it ain't what it should be. It's desolate. Perhaps all of Achik. Do you say Nachem? You have to say the regular thing. The city is desolate insofar as the city is an extension of the Beit HaMikdash, and the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. Now, after Mohammed Sheshet Hayamim, there were many discussions about changing the tefillah of Nachem. And what's interesting to note, I give you over here two different versions. Version one is the version of Reb Chaim David Halevi, who was the chief rabbi in Tel Aviv. Reb Chaim David Halevi has one word different than the way we have it. I even bolded it for you. Nachem Hashem Elokim Tov Elishem Adev Leishan V'ta'ir Shehaita Chareva Bezuya Shomema. No? You see that? By the way, he also takes out the word Avela. Right? He takes out Avela and he has Shehaita Chareva Bezuya Shomema. It used to be. Okay. It used to be. And instead of He Yoshevet for Rosh HaChafoy, it's He Yoshva. The kind of how he changed it all to past tense. Rav Goren, right, changed the text of Nachem. He brought a little bit from Rav Shri Rigoin has some of it, and this is found in Yerushalmi. Rav Goren changed the text of Nachem after Mohammed Sheshet Hayamim, and his text is a conglomerate of things. Nachem Hashem Elokim Tov Elishem Tov Elishem Tov Chariba Haharusa Tziyon B'Matif Kei Rishonai Titen Kola Libi Libi Achal Olehem. God should comfort the mourners of Yerushalayim. This city is destroyed. Now, what he meant by that is that part of the city is destroyed. Yerushalayim is not completely built up. Me'ayim ayaham hegeim. Kama. Li'yisa'el amcha natata nachala. L'zer yishurun horashta. Na'arash tamlokenu me'afra. Hekitza me'eretz tvuya. Right? In other words, says Rav Goren, that God already gave the Nachala to us. He brought us up from the dirt. He woke us up, right? God destroyed Yerushalayim, and God is now bringing it back. Rav Goren is changing the text of Yerushalayim in a very bold sort of way. Rav Goren's own brother-in-law was the chief rabbi of Haifa. His name was Rav Sha'ar Yashuv Kohen. No? Rav Sha'ar Yashuv Kohen just passed away. Rav Sha'ar Yashuv Kohen said, do not use my brother-in-law's text. The Rabbanut never approved it. Do not use it. Do you say the regular Nachem? Chacham Uvad Yosef in the Tshuva Nechavadat in the Chilek Aleph Simen Mem Gimel says, absolutely use the regular text of Nachem. You can't change the text at all because, says Chacham Uvadia, the text was instituted by Anshei Knesset HaGadola, and you can't tamper with prayer. Says Reb Chaim David Halevi, whoa, what are you talking about? Anshei Knesset HaGadola. They are at the time of the Second Temple. Nothing is after it's destroyed. Like they're pointing at the Kulei Alma. Right? That's his taina. Now, it happens that Reb Aaron Lichtenstein, Zechrono Livracha, would also change the text of Nachem, but not the way Reb Chaim David Halevi did it. Not the way Rav Goren did it. Rav Aaron had a different approach. And Rav Aaron's approach is not... Rav Aaron follows Rav Soloveitchik. For Rav Aaron, Yerushalayim is an extension of the Mikdash, and therefore Yerushalayim is still destroyed. However, Rav Aaron is very worried about being Dover Shkarim Lefnei Hashem. You can't lie. You're speaking to God. You can't lie. We know this as a halachic principle that we don't lie when we speak to God. You know, at Ne'ilah, every year I try to rush to get that one stanza in. Hayom Yifneh Hashem Yavoh V'Yifneh. The sun will set. And I want to get that in before Shkia. Right? Why? What's so bad if you do it afterwards? You can't lie. You can't lie. Yeah, so some say if it comes after, you have to change it. Hayom Pana Hashem Yishba'u Pana. Right? Okay, but still, we always try to get in. Why? We don't want to lie in prayer. When we say Anenu, right, the God should answer us on the fast day. I say Anenu only at Mincha. Because at Shacharit, I'm worried I can't say B'yom Tzom Ta'aniteinu. Maybe I'm going to get hungry lunchtime. Maybe I'll have to break my fast. Therefore, not to be Dover Shkarim, right? We only say Aneinat Mincha. That's our practice. Says Rav Aaron, if that's the case, maybe you should just delete one line in Nachim. Rav Aaron feels that you should say, Nachim Hashem Elokeinu Tavei L'Tzion Tavei L'Yerushalayim. God should comfort the mourners of Tzion Yerushalayim. God should comfort the ear that's Aveila Chareva Bizu Yashomima. But the line that says, Ha'Aveila Mibli Vaneha, Chareva Mim Onoteha, Bizu Yamikvoda, Shomima Me'en Yoshev, the line that says that it is mournful because there are no children. It's desolate because its homes are not there. It's it's degraded that there's no honor, and it's desolate that no one lives there. Says Rav Aaron, that line you have to take out. Because that line would be Dover Shkarim Lefnei Hashem. That line would be a lie. So Rav Aaron's Zechronu Livracha would take that one line out.
He's
following Rav Salvechik that you say Nachim. The city is still destroyed. But you don't have to say that the city is destroyed that no one lives there, because people do live there. It still is destroyed, but it's destroyed because there's no Beis HaMikdash.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
That's what Rav Aaron was saying.
Okay.
Oh, now. L'maisa, Rav Aaron would tell the Baalei Tefillah in Gush on Tisha B'Av that even though I changed the Nusach, but you daven the regular way. This was like a private Rav Aaron thing that became publicized after. I just confirmed this today with like one of his close Talmidim. In the yeshiva, in the Gush, they would say the regular Nachem. But Rav Aaron felt that if a person has a sensitivity not to be a Dover Shkarim Lefnei Hashem, then don't say that line. A lot of this came, like Rav Chaim David HaLevi writes, that it was the first Tisha B'Av after 1967, and he's the most famous Nachem, and he paused. He's like, how can I say this? Right? And that's a very real feeling. That's a very real feeling. Now, just the last point I wanted to make relates to some other tefillot. Not necessarily post-67, although the question, I think, is more extreme post-67. We say L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim twice a year, at least, no? We say the end of Ne'ilah, we say the end of the Pesach Seder. Now, the earliest source of L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim is in the Shibalei Halakhet, 13th century. It's found in the Haggadah already in the 16th century. It makes it. The Shana Haba B'Yerushalayim is there. There's some piyutim, Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, that's the Shana Haba B'Yerushalayim earlier. And it's well known. But the text always was the Shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. Period. End. After the Jewish people returned to Eretz Yisrael, so then they began to say L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim Habnuya. They added that word Habnuya because, what do you mean L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim? We're here already. We're there. Right? Yerushalayim B'Yadenu. How can I say next year? It's already ours. The story goes, it's quoted in the Sefer Melachim Kivnei Adam, that Maran HaRav Kook, when he was once in New York collecting money, and one rich person wanted to give Rav Kook a lot of money, provided that Rav Kook could explain to him how come Jews in Yerushalayim say L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim when they're there already. And he says, Rav Kook, I'll give you a lot of money for yeshiva if you explain this to me. So Rav Kook says, oh, we don't say L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. We say L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim Habnuya. That's what Rav Kook said. Now, it happens that the Briskers will not add the word Habnuya to the Shana Haba at all, because they say this is Zionism. Zionism, not for us. So the Briskers only will say L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. They will not add L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim Habnuya. Now, the Yerushalayim Habnuya is found in the Pasuk. Yerushalayim Habnuya, here Shehu B'Ala Yachdav. But the Briskers would say, yeah, that's David HaMelech. David HaMelech had a Yerushalayim Habnuya. But to say it now, that is that's not proper. There's some other discussions in terms of Nusra'ot HaTfilah after we're in Eretz Yisrael already. You know, in benching, we say, V'hu yolecheinu komemiyut la'artzeinu. It sounds like we're not there. So the Maharam Chagiz in his Tshuva says that the Tshuva's Halachas Ketano says you should change the text. It should say "Hu yolecheinu komemiyut ve'artzeinu." Komemiyut means that we'll walk tall and proud. By the way, much of this I'm getting from Rav Aviner in his Tshuvos. Right in the Tachanun on Mondays and Thursdays. There's a line that we say, Al ta'as imanu kala begalutenu. Do not destroy us in galut. Mm. But we're not there. So, lemaisa, that question is, you know, we're still in galus. You can't say we're not in galus. There's no Beis HaMikdash, we're still in galus. But the question still is somewhat real. And Rav Aviner answered that one. He says, one second, there are Jews in galus, and Jews in Paris are getting killed, and Jews, like, you know, so that line, I think, is easier. In the beginning of the Haggadah, Hashata Hachal Shana Haba Ba'ara to Yisrael. How can we say that? So they quote from the Satmar Rav, interestingly, that the Satmar Rav said, he knew all the Midrashim. The Satmar Rav, Rabbi Yoel Shmash, knew all the Midrashim. So Rabbi Yoel said that the Midrashim Shirashim writes that Yerushalayim today is a small city. But in Asad Lavo, Yerushalayim is going to stretch all the way to Damascus. It'll stretch all the way, Yerushalayim will go all the way to Damascus. Says the Satmar Rav, that's the pshat. Hashata hacha. Now we're here. Now we're in a little Yerushalayim. L'shana haba ba'arad Yisrael. Next year we want to be in a greater land of Israel where Eretz Yisrael stretches so much, and consequently Yerushalayim also stretches, and it's huge and it's beautiful and magnificent, etc. Again, there's much more to say about these topics. As always, thank you for listening. Have a good night.